me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter, you might have to say to us, Acts chapter 17. We're going to begin reading somewhere around verse 24. So let's ask God to speak to our hearts. Father, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together and just being reminded again this morning of what you have done for us in order for us to enjoy you. And we thank you, Father, for the memorial service and the remembrance that we just partook of. And Father, we know you've created us for you, and we know, Father, that one day we will enjoy you apart from this sin-cursed world. But Father, until we get there as pilgrims, Father, we need help, we need instruction, we need truth, we need revelation. We need somebody to guide us in the darkness of the world that we live in. And so, Father, just give us a calming effect now as we open up your word and know that these are your words, that, Father, if you were here right now, literally, bodily, these you would not say anything different. But this is the truth that you have left for us to navigate through a confusing and dark, perplexing world. So again, quiet our hearts, understanding that you are the one that is speaking to us. Give me, give us hearts that are soft and pliable in your hands. God, oh, protect anybody that might have a hard heart here this morning and break it down, I would pray. So thank you. Speak, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, reality TV has been around for a while. And I don't know, somebody, I think, shared on the internet that reality TV maybe started with Survivor, I don't know. But we all know reality TV shows such as Survivor and American Idol and The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and The Millionaire and Joe Millionaire and Keeping Up with the Kardashians and Duck Dynasty. I heard they're actually going to bring some of that back, I heard recently. 19 Kids and Counting and dozens and dozens and dozens of reality TV shows are available any time of the day. Well, what is reality TV? Here's Wikipedia's definition. Reality TV is a genre of television programming that focuses on real-life situations and events, often involving ordinary people or celebrities, without the use of professional actors. It aims to depict how people behave in everyday life or in specially created situations intended to represent real-life scenarios. And after I read that definition, I thought, what's really crazy is the fact that not much reality is found in reality TV. I'm not sure how much reality is found in the reality show Keeping Up with the Kardashians. One thing is for certain, and it's this, is that people are searching for reality in our culture today. But what they are presented in reality TV is really a blurred reality. People are searching for reality, and I am so thankful for that. Because understanding and defining what is real, what is essential, what is important is so key to finding the joy, the happiness, and fulfillment in this life. And so, as I had reflect and seek to ask God to give direction as to what to speak on every week, I initially had another sermon really already pretty well planned and ready to go. But I thought it would be really good for us just to think about what is real. What is reality in this world we live in? And as I began my prep this week, I began to think of three things that are real if we really want to live in the real world, not this blurred reality that we're being almost put in front of our faces these days. But what is real? And So three realities kind of came to my mind, and then as the week went on, and I just realized, look, why don't we do this? Let's just take one of these realities every first Sunday of the month here for these first 3 months of the year, okay? So this morning, let's start here. What is real? What is a reality that you need to know if you want to live in reality in 2025? And it's this. Here it is. Here's what's real. Life is about God. Life is about God. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you're very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, I'm going to proclaim it to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring." Now, I want you to go back with me to verses 24 and 25. Notice these words. "The Lord God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." Now, as you look at those verses there, whether in your Bible or on your screen, let's establish some truths as Paul did. God is the creator of everything. God created this world, and God created everything in this world. This is the most fundamental thing you need to know about God. That he's the creator of all things. So it's not by coincidence that when God writes a book, a revelation of himself, where does he start? He starts Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to let us know that he is the creator and he's created everything. But as you look at those verses, Paul not only established this most fundamental thing about God, that God is the creator, but he also established the truth that God is, he's the Lord of all creation, right? He created everything, and then he didn't leave it for someone else to rule it, or for, as the deist says, for it to rule itself. But God is the Lord. He is the ruler of heaven and earth. He's ruling right now over his creation. And this is good news. It's good news because who God is. Because God is good, as we sang earlier. Because God is loving. Because God is wise. Because God is all-powerful. So he's the creator. He's the Lord ruling over. God is what? He's self-existent. What does it say there? He doesn't live in temples made by man, right? Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, right? He doesn't need someone to make a temple for him to live in. He doesn't need anything. And lastly, notice, God sustains his creation and creatures. He not only creates us, but he sustains us. Look at verse 28 there. Acts 17, verse 20. Notice how it begins. "For in him we live and move and have our beings." He creates us. He rules over all of creation. He is self-existent. He needs nothing. And not only does he create us, but then he sustains us. He gives mankind life and breath. He just gave you in this room a gift. He gave you another breath. He just sustained you a little longer. It's true. If God hadn't given you that breath, you wouldn't be here right now. Our very existence is dependent on God. We have no existence apart from Him. Every breath, every heartbeat is given by God and decreed by God from eternity. How many times did you think about that this last week? You see, you can't survive unless God does something for us. In Him, verse 28, we live and move and have our beings. We are dependent beings. God revealed this same truth to John as he was exiled on the island there and gave him the revelation in Revelation 4:11. He says, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." We were made by God. We cannot exist. We cannot function by our own power. We cannot create breath on our own. For in Him we live and move and have our being. The writer of Proverbs tells us one more important truth about God that we need to know if we're going to live this reality out in our lives. And it's in Proverbs 16 and verse 4. And it says this: "The Lord has made all for Himself." So let me state this as simply as I can, right? KISS. Keep it simple. You're not some kind of cosmic accident. You were created by God. And God has chosen and is presently sustaining your life. And God has created you for Himself. Look at verse 27. "That they should seek Him." Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. This is not new. Paul's writing here to the people of Athens. But if you can find the book of Colossians there, it's a little bit past Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I want you to see this here. It says in verse 15, it says, "He," that's Jesus, "is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." And notice what it says. It sounds very familiar, doesn't it? "For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions and rulers or authorities." And you can pause there and look, verse 17. "And He is before all things, and in Him all things," what? "Hold together." He sustains everything. And go back with me at verse 16. I want to read that again, and I want to finish it this time. "For by Him all things were created, in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him." So if you want to live in the real world in 2025, you and I need to pound this truth in our heads. Life is about God. Life is not about me. Life is not about you. Life is all about God and His glory. And Isaiah sees this vision, and he sees these angels, and we're told in Isaiah 6:3, "And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory.'" Everything in life is about God and His glory, in whom we have our being. We have four boys, as you know, and when they were young and we were raising them, and they would get into this self-pity mode, or they would, you know, they would not share, and all they're doing is thinking about themselves. And, you know, I don't know where we got this statement. I meant to ask Barb earlier, but we heard it somewhere, and we use it quite often. They could quote it to you this day. And it's this little statement. It's me, me, me. I love myself. I have my picture on my wall. And we would say that to them. It's me, me, me. I love myself. I have my picture on my wall. And the point of the little statement was to get them to see that they were making life all about themselves and their wishes and their wants. In the days, in the weeks, in the months, and maybe years that God may choose to keep giving you breath, you're not here, and I'm not here to enhance my picture on the wall. The time that God may choose to give you on this earth is all about Him and the picture of His glory that is being displayed all over the canvas of this earth. The picture is not about me or you, but God, in His grace and love, has chosen to allow you and me to be an instrument to display the glorious picture of His glory. We're just the instrument. If you like, we're the paintbrush to display His glory. The heavens paint a picture of His glory. And God has chosen us, His creation, to whom He sustains, who He gives to us life, so that we can be an instrument, a paintbrush, if you like, to paint, to declare His glory. But the picture is not about me. The picture is not about you, but it's all about God's glory. The whole earth, Isaiah said, is full of His glory. So as I begin 2025 and as you begin 2025, life is not about becoming financially secure. Life is not about having good health and being free from pain. Life is not about the weekends. It's not about dream vacations. It's not about pleasure. It's not about early retirement. Life is not about bigger and better, and you fill in the blank. Life is not about accumulating stuff. Life is not about being first in your class academically or more playing time on your sports team. Life is not about being popular among your peers at school and being accepted. Life is not about being well-respected and thought well in your community. Life is not about everything we as humans so often make it out to be and what the reality TV shows tell us it's about. But every once in a while, like every day, and oftentimes several times throughout the day, we need to have a reality check and remind ourselves that life is about God. Life revolves around God and not me. What's important in life is not that things go the way I want them to go, but that I am displaying and painting with the paintbrush God has given me, this breath at this moment, His glory, so that all around can see His glorious being. So Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9, therefore we make it our aim. This is our goal. Whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. That's the goal. That's the goal of life. Life starts with God, and through every breath, it must be about God. Barb and I lived in this town. We've told you before, the town was called Shelbyville, and this town was only 5,000 people. It was a small town, but on Shelbyville was called Lake Shelbyville. I think it's the second largest lake in the state of Illinois. It had 2 million. The town was 5,000 people. It had 2 million visitors would come to this big lake, and several marinas around the lake, and so oftentimes there would be different times that we have company come, and you know, you're trying to think of something to do, and sometimes they'd want to go out on the lake, but we'd take them to the marina. They were one of the marinas, and the marina was just filled with incredible houseboats and yachts, and you know, you could walk up and down the piers and kind of look in and see. And you've all been to like marinas, right? I don't know what those are, there's yachts or something like that. But we've also seen what happens when tropical storms come, right? And hurricanes, right? You see stuff like this on, and you say, wow, they've got to move those things. And I would say to you, why? Why not just leave them there? And the answer you would come back to me is, they won't work. And I would say, well, why won't they work? And you would say to me, because they're outside of their environment. They won't function and work as they were designed to work. You see, they were made for water, not land and concrete. And to go through life, living your life for yourself and making life all about that list that I shared earlier, is about as crazy as trying to operate a boat on a concrete street. The boat won't function on concrete street, and you won't function properly if you make life about yourself and living life outside of reality. Because life is what? It's all about God. I was made, and you were made for God and His glory. And so Paul would say, so whether then you eat or drink or tie your shoes or go for coffee or greet people after church on Sunday morning, whatever you do, everything, do all to the glory of God. Great, great question to think about. I can't answer it for you, and I can only struggle and wrestle with it in my own life. What am I living for? What is my goal in life? What do I want? Living in the real world means living for God's glory in everything, because life is all about God. Would you stand with me?